This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me, gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
Wednesday and welcome to it, my friends. Coming to you live from WMKT Studios in the beautiful city of Petoskey in northern Michigan. Just another stop on this tour. We'll be heading back to the northern studios of Boyne City tomorrow, but today my good friends over here at McDonald Broadcasting, WMKT Petoskey, says, hey, come on in, check out our studios. Great place watching the daybreak here in Petoskey in northern Michigan, and just what a tremendous summer it has been so far. This part of the program brought to you in part by Consumers Mutual Insurance, a different kind of insurance company, a co-op. So when you become a member of Consumers Mutual, you actually own part of the company, I guess. Anyhow, different kind of insurance company. When I was out there, you know how much confusion's out there when it comes to insurance. I decided that for me and my family, Consumers Mutual Insurance was the one to choose. 40,000 individuals, 400 businesses across the state now with Consumers Mutual and growing fast every day, in fact. ConsumersMutual.org to find out more. Check it out. All right, well, on my tour up here, I'll be on the shores of Lake Charlevoix, Walloon Lake, Burt Lake, Black Lake, Crooked Lake. And we're going to check out all sorts of lakes in northern Michigan, and I'd like you to go to the Facebook page of the Steve Gruber Show, post your pictures of the things that you like, your favorite memory spots on your vacations. We'll talk about it here in the next couple of weeks here on the program. You know, summer, we're headed to August. I mean, can you believe it? June and July are pretty much wrapped up for this year. And now heading for August, so before it all dissolves back into a snowstorm and a whiteout, get out there and enjoy your time in Michigan. You owe it to yourself. My God, look how hard you work. I mean, let's be honest. You know, you work your tail off. You deserve a chance to get up there and enjoy something besides winter once in a while. Well, Donald Trump's explosive rise in the polls, according to The Hill, has come at the expense of every other Republican candidate except for Jeb Bush and Scott Walker, who arguably have been helped by Trump's rise. The media storm surrounding Donald Trump is starving other candidates of oxygen, including some major contenders like Marco Rubio, who has seen his polling numbers plummet more than 3 points since Trump got into the race. Bush, in contrast, has seen his support rise by 3 points, and Walker has gained over a point. Trump has risen by 14.6 points since launching his campaign. Jeb and Walker are in the first tier, and they're not going anywhere, said Republican strategist Matt McCowiak. First, McCowiak added that the sheer volume of attention being commanded by Donald Trump has forced or extreme rhetoric to garner media coverage. He cited the examples of Lindsey Graham releasing a video of himself destroying his cell phone after Trump gave out the number, Rand Paul using a chainsaw and a wood chipper to destroy the tax code, and former Arkansas Mike Huckabee alleging that President Obama was marching Israelis to the door of the oven. Cal Gilson, a professor of political science at Southern Methodist University, made a similar point. Candidates, he said, like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, are now fighting for any attention they can get. They're fighting for it with outlandish statements, trying to keep up with Trump. I'm thinking particularly of Huckabee. He continues to make that point about the Iran deal, so he must think he is getting the attention from that, without which he cannot rise in the polls. Huckabee, let me just tell you, he has no chance of winning, period. Lindsey Graham, no chance. None. George Pataki, and you say who? Exactly. No chance. These guys are draining resources. Not much. They're not getting much for money, and they're not getting much in the polls at all. Vanity drives some of these campaigns, I believe. I mean, Ben Carson is a skilled surgeon and a gift. I think he is terrific. I think Dr. Ben Carson is absolutely terrific and a great American and a guy you want to be around and you want to emulate. But do I think he's going to be president of the United States? No, I don't. I don't even think it's possible. You know, the other thing that just, and Rand has been on life support for a month. And I like Rand Paul. He's been on the program here several times. But it's not catching fire. It's imploding. And Marco Rubio, well, he started with great promise, but my bet now is that Marco's sinking. And he is going to go down. There's just no question about it. And he's going to have some trouble. So that leaves Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, and Donald Trump. Now, I do believe, and I still do, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, my friends, and I know you hear me say it, but I do believe that Kasich's going to make it to the top tier. He's number four in the latest polls in New Hampshire. But he has a better story to tell than pretty much all of them. 18 years in Congress, two-term governor of Ohio, where, let's be honest, without Ohio, you don't become president of the United States as a Republican. Not since 1860, not since Abraham Lincoln. I mean, you have to carry Ohio to become president if you are a Republican. It is that simple. So if you have the sitting, very popular governor of Ohio running for president, you better give him a good look if you expect to get the White House back. So that's why I, and I'm not the only one. You know, he's handicapped as a dark horse still, as he should be. But I've watched people handicap this race for a while. I mean, the one thing that Kasich does that these other guys don't do, they're all saying, well, Hillary does this, and, you know, you shouldn't do that, and Obama does it. Kasich's like, here's what I'm going to do. He's the one guy in the race saying, here's what I'm going to do. Well, you know, Steve, he supported the Obamacare expansion. That's right. And the Supreme Court on two decisions since has shown that he made a pretty smart move. Don't have to like Obamacare. You can hate it just as much as I do. But from a pragmatic point of view, he made the right decision, didn't he? Because instead of being bogged down with it, he's well past it. The people in the state of Ohio are well past it. It's already done. It's taken care of. It's over. It's finished. Move on. Other things to consider. Other things to talk about. Other things to work on. And Jeb Bush, who supports him? Who supports this guy? I mean, I keep seeing that he's at 14, 15, 16% in the polls. Have you met anybody? Because I don't. I mean, I like him. I saw him speak in 6 weeks ago. He was terrific. Gave a great speech. Great conversation. But did he set the world on fire? No, he's medium. I thought Scott Walker was great. When Ivy and I went and saw Scott Walker, my wife and I went and saw Scott Walker, he was really good in person. He deserves to be in the top tier right there. So we'll keep an eye on it. And Donald Trump, well, we'll find out. It's Wednesday on the Steve Gerber Show.
Michigan's radio program of record is the Steve Gerber Show. Here is Steve Gerber.
It's a Wednesday here on the Steve Gerber Show. Thanks for joining in. You can find out more at stevegerber.com, the same place you can find the podcast, courtesy of Podbean. If you go to stevegerber.com, if you miss a conversation or you want to hear it again or go over it, go to stevegerber.com. Right on the right-hand side of the homepage, right? You'll see podcast. Click on that. You'll go to the Podbean account, which thousands of people have gone to already, and thank you for the support on that. Thousands of people have gone to the Podbean account. You can become a follower on there as well. So people like Ambassador Francis Rooney will always be there for you. He is our next guest here on the program. He served as the United States Ambassador to the Holy See, which, of course, is the Catholic Church under George W. Bush. Ambassador, welcome back to the program.
Steve, thank you for having me on.
We've talked a lot of things about the Pope. This Pope is a bit of a wild card, Pope Francis is. says things that get a lot of media attention from time to time. Not too long ago, just a few weeks ago, releasing a whole dissertation on the environment, global warming, and basically an attack on capitalism in some ways. At least that's the way I took it. You think maybe he's wandering far afield?
Well, I thought it was surprising in several respects. First of all, it was surprising that the language about an issue that is contentious and still in dispute and under great differences of opinion was so conclusory and didactic, if you will. But I thought that was a little unnuanced. The second thing I thought about it, which was interesting, was that they were not willing to entertain in the Pontifical Council for Social Sciences any of the opposing views about the different potential contributing causes to climate change. And I thought that would have made the study a little more empirical than it was. And then, of course, the third thing is the link of climate change to poverty in the third world is a very complex issue, and there are many other reasons for poverty in the third world that I would argue that the Pope could add great value addressing, like authoritarian repressive governments that deny their people the right to rise up and improve their station in life.
Or socialism in general, because places like Venezuela have collapsed under socialism. Their grocery store shelves are empty. And yet the government keeps demanding more from the producers. You know, it's a spiral into socialism and communism that always fails. And the interesting thing, you know, I also saw in the news here recently, I learned from President Barack Obama that global warming is what caused ISIS to become what it is today. And I'm like, really? So terrorists are out there blowing people up and killing people because of global warming. And you make the comment about the Pope saying they want no opposing views. That's the way this whole climate change nonsense works. Here's our point of view. What you think is meaningless. And so he's right in step with the Al Gores of the world and all the others that say, it's settled science. There's nothing to talk about here. Really? We're in America. We talk about everything.
Yeah. In fact, you know, you make a couple of really interesting points there. Just this week, a high official in Cuba had called out for the de-Venezolization of Venezuela, i.e. getting the Cubans back because they're fed up with the food lines. You know, Venezuela's got like 25,000 Cubans in there infiltrating their economy and providing services for free oil to Castro, and now they're calling them back because the conditions in Venezuela have become so horrible.
Well, it's an economic disaster. I mean, the place is falling apart, and this is the end result. And you can go back to the Bolshevik Revolution of the, you know, 1917, 1918, and the end result has been exactly the same for pretty much every socialist or communist society. Either there is devastation financially, and people starved to death. Mao starved, 50 million of his own people. Stalin murdered 25 million of his own. Cuba is a wreck. Venezuela is a disaster. North Korea is a joke. And yet we sit here on this planet, and people like, well, the Pope has, you know, talked about the evils of capitalism. Capitalism gives us transportation, education, communication, and agriculture. What else do you want?
Yeah, there's never been a system in the world that has provided so much to so many people. And that's why the people in the developing world are crying out for the opportunities that globalization and free enterprise has given them. The cottage workers in India, the micro borrowers, and the cottage workers all through the interior of South America making goods and getting them sold in the United States and Europe now. No doubt about it. And that's what frustrates me about some of the things that have gone on in this country lately to expand the reach of the government and undermine the First Amendment, particularly, and kind of kill the golden goose, which, quite frankly, is something that de Tocqueville foresaw, which I put a quote about in my book, that he foresaw that the combination of religious liberty and economic liberty was going to create a powerful engine in the United States that sooner or later could become its own undoing when people wanted material things and rather than fight for their rights.
And obviously, Ambassador, we're with Ambassador Francis Rooney, who serves as the U.S. Ambassador to the Holy See, which is the Catholic Church, for anybody who doesn't know, under George W. Bush. So, I mean, obviously you have a close relationship with the Catholic Church on different levels, and you just think that the Pope should stick to saving souls and not trying to save the planet, of which he apparently seems relatively uneducated about.
Well, I think saving souls is certainly priority number one for the Pope, and pursuing a diplomacy based on fundamental Catholic teaching is another one. And so there's many ways to deploy that diplomacy based on the natural rights of man and seeking to improve the human condition and human dignity around the world. We might disagree on the priorities of singling out global warming versus opposing authoritarian regimes and or distracting the Pope's message against radical Islam. You know, Pope Benedict had a laser-like focus on secularism in the West and the abuse of religion by radical Islamicists in the East. And he used that laser-like focus to get a very clear message distributed around the world as part of his personal diplomacy. This message here is becoming a little diffused because the Pope speaks about everything.
Do you think there's, Pope Benedict stepping down voluntarily was a very unusual event? And I'm not sure we've benefited from it.
Well, I think it was a consummate act of humility for a man to leave that stage and the opportunity to do so many important things in the world because of his health conditions, and it just shows that he put the job above himself. And I wonder how many elected officials would do that. That's part of our problem in the United States. They want to get reelected, not necessarily lead. They could take a page out of Pope Benedict's book.
They'd love to do all those things for you, but they can't right now because, well, they're out collecting money for the next campaign. Ambassador, always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me on, Steve.
Ambassador Francis Rooney, everybody, right here on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
The Steve Gruber Show. Get the news and information vital to your world.
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? Why you see it your way? On the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone.
All right, welcome back to it, my friends. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Wednesday. Brought to you in part by American Metal Roofs. AmericanMetalRoofs.com, offering you the AMR special offer. Go to AMRSpecialOffer.com, see my picture, save $1,000 on your new roof. And thank you to American Metal Roof for sponsoring the Steve Gruber Show. We appreciate all the support. Well, as I told you before the break, there is a move on by a Canadian group and a Canadian environmental assessment that concludes burying hazardous nuclear material near the shore of Lake Huron in a deep underground bunker is the best way to deal with the waste. Beverly Fernandez here, a spokesperson for Stop the Great Lakes Nuclear Dump. Welcome to the program, Beverly.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Steve.
Well, this conclusion, I believe, happened in May. Tell us about what the plan is and what do you make of it?
Well, Ontario Power Generation wants to bury radioactive nuclear waste that remains lethal for 100,000 years, less than a mile from the Great Lakes. And what we make of it is, quite simply, burying radioactive nuclear waste beside the Great Lakes, the drinking water for 40 million peoples in Canada and the U.S., defies common sense. I ask you, would you bury poison beside your well?
Well, I mean, so where would you conclude it's a better place to bury this waste?
Well, if it must be buried, Ontario is a vast province. It is the size of France and Spain combined, over 1 million square kilometers. And yet OPG decides to bury it right beside the Great Lakes. There is also another option. It can be re-encased in hardened concrete casks and monitored for leaks. And if a leak happens, it can be dealt with. But OPG wants to bury and abandon this waste. And we will never know if it has leaked into the Great Lakes until it's too late.
Well, you know, I guess my question is this. I mean, obviously the Canadians in Ontario is a vast province, as you said. They also get their drinking water from the same place. Why? I mean, they have no advantage of, if they think it's truly dangerous, to put it there. So what do you think their motivation is?
Well, I guess it's because the site is already there, and apparently the people in the town of Concardon have agreed to host it there. Now, when we look at what has happened on the planet, I think it becomes very clear that it shouldn't. There are only three deep geological repositories to hold nuclear waste on our entire planet. and all three have leaked, including the WIPP facility in the U.S. in New Mexico. And it was supposed to hold its waste safely for 10,000 years. And a mere 15 years into its operating phase, it leaked. It contaminated 22 workers, and the radiation traveled to the next town. So given the fact that all three repositories to hold nuclear waste on the planet have failed, can we endanger the drinking water of the Great Lakes when they provide the drinking water to the people of Michigan and 40 million?
Well, I mean, it's a concern that I understand where you're coming from, but I guess my question is, again, what is the alternative? If you apparently don't believe that nuclear waste can be buried safely anywhere, that's the point of view that they're giving us, right?
No, we're not saying that. We are just saying that if it must be buried, bury it outside of the Great Lakes Basin. And I have to say, I'm not the only one saying this. We have almost 83,000 signatures on our petition, and there are 165 communities that have passed resolutions opposing this plan and opposing a nuclear waste dump anywhere in the Great Lakes Basin. And your listeners might be interested to know that the Michigan State Senate has unanimously passed a resolution opposing the dump and calling for Secretary of State John Kerry and President Obama to intervene. And that does have bipartisan support as well. There is a resolution has been introduced both into the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House, basically saying the same kind of thing, and that has bipartisan support as well. So what we're saying is this decision is a decision that will affect the Great Lakes for the next 100,000 years, the last place to bury and abandon radioactive nuclear waste, is beside the largest supply of fresh water on the planet.
And I think that you've made your case strongly and clearly, and obviously the state legislature of Michigan feels the same way. But what's going to happen? Is it going to move forward? Where are we with the program? Because as these things go, usually when a decision is made, governments are very slow in changing their mind.
That's right. We have the decision has, well, it's been approved by a federal panel, and the decision has conveniently been delayed by our Minister of the Environment until after our Canadian federal election. So, as you said, these things, you know, take a slow course, but the voices of the people are very important, and the voices of the politicians in the U.S. are also very important. I would suggest that your listeners, you know, sign our petition, contact their representatives and their senators, tell them they're opposed to the dump, and, you know, contact the governor and say it's time for the governor of Michigan to speak out to oppose this project.
And what about, you know, the governors of all the eight?
No,
hold on.
That the voice of the people and the voice of the politician have stopped projects before. And in fact, there is a Canadian precedent when the U.S. was contemplating a similar situation with a nuclear waste dump in shared water basins, and our politician Joe Clark spoke out at that time, and the U.S. did back down. So there is actually a precedent here. So if the, you know, the people and the politicians speak out, we can get this thing stopped.
All right, and if people are interested in this conversation, Beverly, we're on the line with Beverly Fernandez, a Canadian environmental assessment. Concludes burying hazardous nuclear waste near the Lake Huron shoreline is a good idea. Of course, Beverly thinks otherwise. Stop the Great Lakes nuclear dump. Beverly, where do people find out more about your group?
Well, if you just go on the internet and type in Stop the Great Lakes Nuclear Dump, we're all over it. Our Facebook will come up, and that's where we post all current information, and our website will come up. And go to our website. It's very well documented. You'll find a lot of information there, and the petition is there, too. So it's important. We have about 18,000 signatures on our petition from the people of Michigan. So clearly, they are concerned. And the more signatures we get, the better.
All right. Beverly Fernandez, thank you for taking the time today to talk about this. And again, folks, you can go find that Stop the Great Lakes Nuclear Dump. Beverly, have a great day.
Thank you so much, Steve.
There you have it. Barry Fernandez, everybody. And, you know, it's worth the conversation for sure. You don't want toxic nuclear material making its way into Lake Huron or anywhere else around your well. But how much of a concern is it? Well, go read and educate for yourself. I know about as much about it as you do, having discussed it with Beverly. So that's why we share the best guests in radio with you, so we can learn together. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
The Steve Gruber Show. Jump starting your day with the news that matters.
After the hour now, and thanks for stopping in. This part of the program brought to you by Wheat Jewelers. WheatJewelers.com, the place to find all your best Spartan jewelry. All your best Spartan jewelry at WheatJewelers.com. Plus, engagement rings 3,000 strong, plus have something custom-made and shipped anywhere in the state of Michigan. Go to WheatJewelers.com, talk to Kevin, tell him I sent you along. As you know, I am on my Northern Michigan tour right now, broadcasting this day from the studios of WMKT in Petoskey. We'll return to the Northern Studios in Boyne City tomorrow for the program. But circulating around, we'll be in Burt Lake and Charlevoix and Lake Michigan. Won't make it all the way to Mackinac Island this year, but if you do, you might see something different cruising around. A new emergency response boat being used by the Mackinac Marine Rescue Team, helping to save lives in and around Mackinac Island, because invariably, when you're out on the water, and you put a lot of people out on the water, too much sun, too much fun, and every now and then something can go wrong. Sam Barnwell here, the Mackinac Marine Rescue Officer in charge, to talk about it. Sam, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Steve. Thank you for joining us here in Northern Michigan.
Well, you know, I think I'll be joining you a lot more. I just love this part of the state. What's not to like? I mean, you live up here. What's not to like?
There's nothing not to like, and the weather is just beautiful. So.
Yeah, you know what you don't have up here? I haven't even mentioned this to the folks in the southern part of the states. There's no mosquitoes.
Not this year.
There's not. Yeah, I don't know why, but, you know, in the southern part of the state, we're getting pounded, so that's a nice bonus up here. But, Sam, tell me about this. A new emergency response boat being used by the good folks there at the Mackinac Marine Rescue. What is it, and how is it different and better?
Yeah, we acquired a 31-foot boat made out of safe boats in Seattle. Kind of custom-built for us up here in the Great Lakes. It's built off of a platform that the Coast Guard and the Border Patrol use, but more specially tuned for us here on the island. As an island with a lot of visitors, we have a great medical facility with our medical center, the fully licensed ER, but there's often times that you still need to go down to a cath lab or surgery at some of our other fine Northern Michigan hospitals. And it's really set up for us to be able to do medical evacuations off the island with our EMS personnel. And then also provides a great platform that's enclosed and has good communications for handling rescues out in the Great Lakes, where we often work with three or four different agencies due to the size of the lakes and the conditions that we have up here.
Oh, sure. You can run into all sorts of problems. Now, as I read about this boat, how long is this boat? 31 feet?
31 feet, yeah.
I mean, this boat is like a superhero out here. It has a top speed of 41 knots. What's that, about 44, 45 miles an hour? So it's a fast boat for its size. It has a heated cabin, a 500-gallon-a-minute fire pump, so in case you got a fire out there, infrared cameras, radar. You can drop the front of the boat and do beach landings. It can carry up to 26 people. Is there anything this boat can't do?
Yeah, we're pretty much set up for anything as long as we can keep the waves under 8 feet and the winds under 30 miles an hour. We're a great vessel to be out there. Mackinac County is one of the longest counties in the country, and we really see ourselves as a county resource, you know, not just Mackinac Island. And it's a lot of beach to cover. And so that speed gives us the ability to get out to the beautiful sand dunes on US 2 and out into the islands like Cedarville and Hessel. And Mackinac Island is kind of centrally located to be able to reach all those areas here in the Straits of Mackinac.
All right, Sam, you got to tell me. We're on the line with Sam Barnwell, the Mackinac Marine Rescue Officer in charge of this new boat, this 31-foot gem. What's its name?
Its name right now is just still on the military type naming. It's 31955. 31 is its hull length, and 955 is the last digit of its hull ID. So nothing pretty there. And she hasn't quite earned a nickname yet.
But she will.
Every good vessel needs a nickname, but she needs to earn it. And
well, absolutely.
She's still too new to have acquired just the perfect nickname yet.
So there in Mackinac County, I mean, give me an idea. I mean, obviously, you know, the Coast Guard's there if the winds are over 30 miles an hour or a heavy rescue or whatever. But obviously, this is going to be an asset to help the Coast Guard, to help the county, as you mentioned, in this long county that covers a tremendous amount of coastline and water. How often this time of the year do you get a distress call, either from somebody that's having, like you said, maybe a medical event, or somebody that's having a problem out on a boat where they're stranded or there's a fire? I mean, how often do these things come up?
Hey, well, we're about 6 weeks into our experience so far, and right now we've run 7 medical evacuations off the island. We've had 2 search and rescues. One sheriff's department was able to locate on shore, and the other one were some paddle boaters that we were able to find off of St. Ignace and get them back to help. And then also, I mean, some of the just community good things we're able to do. Cloverland Electric, our power company, had their guy over here to put the power back on 4th of July, and unfortunately couldn't fly home. Well, here's a guy who's in his 30s, 4th of July evening, can't get home to his family. Well, we were able to then take care of some of that. Just good, you know, the right thing
to do.
The proper situation.
The proper and patriotic.
Get him home for his family on 4th of July.
Yeah, absolutely. And for my wife listening, honey, did you hear that? Stranded paddle boaters. Another reason to hate paddle boats. I'm sorry. I just had
to stand my head. It's a big lake, and not every piece of equipment is necessarily the right thing for a big lake. But, you know, people enjoy their days in many different ways.
Everybody deserves a sign, and if you take a paddle boat out onto the Straits of Mackinac, here's your sign. Sam Barnwell, thank you so much. Great luck I hope you have with this boat, and it sounds like, you know, 7 medical evacuations, 2 search and rescue. It's already showing its how much of an asset it is to you guys, and congratulations.
Well, thank you, sir. We look forward to seeing you here on the island.
There you have it, Sam Barnwell, everybody. Appreciate it, Sam, from the Mackinac Marine Rescue Team. He is the officer in charge, and that boat is 31955 for now until she earns herself a nickname, which she will. But with 7 medical evacuations and these search and rescues all are already under the belt of this boat, you know, what an asset for the people of Mackinac County and the state of Michigan. All part of our northern tour of the Steve Gruber Show. It's a beautiful Wednesday. We'll be right back.